right, and welcome to another round of the Monday Waffle. We've just come off the back of round 7, a very interesting round. Today, I'm joined by Michael Stamp, and I am your host, Jack Davidson.
G'day, Jack. It was an interesting round of footy. We saw Swan Districts get on top of Subi.
What an upset. My tips.
Enough about the tips. Do we owe Swans an apology?
Most certainly we
do. I think a lot of people do. I'll happily say I did not think they'd be this good. I tip them for the bottom. Well done to Swans, and well done to Greg Harding for getting those young guys up and about each week and playing some really good footy.
Swans, you have my most sincere apologies, and I hope it's a great grand final for you guys, because inevitably, that's where you're heading.
They might just go down the ladder now that we've said this apology.
We've jinxed it.
Yeah, I know.
And we'll apologise for that too, Swans.
But they do have East Freo this weekend, so, you know, they could get another win.
Who knows?
Hey, Peel just can't get a win again, can they? I think we tipped him for our top four because of the whole partnership with Fremantle.
Yeah.
Now they haven't won a game.
What's going on?
There's
going to be a lot of questions answered, and the people at the club just scratching their heads. Because where's the depth of their team?
Exactly. I don't know. Because Fremantle have pretty much a fully fit side. So I don't know where their players are, and their coach Cameron Shepherd has just come out and say, we need to capitalise on our actually good form in the start of the quarters to actually get in front and, you know, get some confidence in the team. They I don't know.
Well, that's it. They're not a bad team. They just can't last those, you know, they get to the second half, some days, three-quarter time, but then they just can't run it out.
Exactly. So we've got a three-way tie on the ladder.
Outrageous.
We've got Subi, Swans and East Perth. We expected East Perth to be there, but they've got a game in hand, so they're third on percentage, but it's Subi and then Swans. We didn't expect it, did we?
No. And Subi on top due to percentage as well.
Yeah, 136.4. Very impressive. And then after those three, we've got Perth, East Fremantle and South Fremantle all on 12. So there's a game separating those, the first three and the second three. So.
Yeah.
Oh, who knows? And then West Perth, Claremont at 8, and Peel still sitting on the bottom.
Lowly, lowly Peel.
So our first game on the weekend was Swans beating Subiaco 19-13 to 13-6, 127-84. The story was about the fourth quarter, Jack.
Mate, it was a tight game up until the fourth. As soon as three-quarter time ended, Subi just couldn't hang on.
It was 3 points the difference. And then they just booted 6 goals to run away with it compared to Subi's 2. But Matty Jukes, 6 goals. How good is that?
It's just mind-boggling. Like, when I checked the results, my jaw hit the ground.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it. I knew it was going to be a great game, yep. But seeing them run away by 6 is just something else.
6 goals for Matthew Jukes. Kicked 3 in the third quarter. In the first quarter. How good is that? There are other Matthews as well. Matthew Rogers had 26 touches and 3 goals. And Matt Riggio played very well in the midfield, having 22 touches. I'm speechless talking about the Jack.
I know. I can't even say anything.
We're all shocked. They kept Subi's former Swans players pretty quiet. Wade Toomey had 12 touches. Just no influence against his former side.
And moving on to East Perth and East Freo. 75-76 East Perth winning.
And that was another fourth quarter fade out by East Fremantle.
It was a joke. It was 6-0 in the fourth. But saying that, East Perth did have control from the start.
They did. I think they took the foot off the pedal and just, you know, eased their way to the final siren. But they must have been a little bit worried. They got within 10, the Sharks.
Yeah.
So, don't know about that. Brett Peake kicked 4 goals for the Sharks, and there were a few Eagles kicking a few bags for the Royals as well.
Yeah, well, the Royals led at three-quarter time by 50 points as well. Remember that. It's just an outrage for someone like myself. But anyway, moving on. But great news for doesn't matter who you play for. This is great. Co-captain Brendan Lee got 32 possessions first game back.
How good is that? He only started running and doing ball work. Well, sorry, he started running a few weeks ago, but ball work last week with that broken finger, comes back, gets 32 touches in a win. It's, you know, it's a great story for Lee. He's one of the best players in the competition.
Yeah, so clearly.
Good to see our best players out there for sure. Sherrod Wellingham played on the Waffle. I was actually shocked. I thought he was dropped because of injury.
But
he played very well. He doesn't really belong on the Waffle, does he? He's a step above the rest. Pretty classy and a bit of a special player indeed. Moving on to South Fremantle and Claremont. It was South Fremantle, 17 goals, 13, 115 to 8 goals, 3, 51. This game was pretty much over halfway through the third quarter, wasn't it, Jack?
Yeah, but at halftime, you wouldn't have been able to guess because they were only in front by 16 points.
Yeah, exactly. But look, looking at the scoreboard, Claremont kicked three goals after halftime, whereas the Bulldogs kicked
10.
So, you know, there's the story right there. Another fourth quarter, just absolutely dominated them. 6 goals to 2 in the last quarter.
Yeah, and also, the Bulldogs have now won 3 in a row after losing 4 consecutive games.
Yeah, those Hazelby haters will be easing up on him a little bit now. Look, he's got them playing very well indeed.
Do you think they just had a better run of teams in the last 3 weeks, or are they actually just finding their stride now?
It's tough to call.
Mm.
They have played pretty well. I mean, they won the Derby last week, which was good for them.
Yeah.
But this week, Claremont, you know, they're not the toughest opponents, so maybe that has a little bit to do with it. But they've got the bye this weekend, so I assume they'll be pretty happy with where they're at now. They're coming back. They've had a good few weeks and going into the bye.
Yeah, hopefully that momentum carries on to the week after as well. And here's a fun fact for you. It was South Frio's first win over Claremont in their 10th attempt. So they haven't beaten them since 2009.
Wow. That is a fun fact, Jack. Very good. Also, Benny Saunders played against his former team, the Tigers. He kicked 4 goals to put him in front of the Bernie Naylor.
Ooh, which is, put those cats in a cage.
Yeah, they were actually the Dogs and the Tigers, hey. But Tara tipped Saunders for the Bernie Naylor, so she's feeling pretty good about herself.
Yeah,
right now.
I can imagine. And now to the final game of the round, Perth versus Peel. Now, Sampy, Perth had a comfortable lead of 28 points at halftime and eased up, and Peel took advantage of this because they had got the only 4 goals in the third quarter.
They did. They started pretty slow. It was very inaccurate goal-kicking in this game. It was 5 goals, 10 to 1 goal, 6 at halftime. So we would have liked to see a few more goals there, and it ended up pretty inaccurate again. But Perth, they sort of just had a comfortable victory, pretty much.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Peel got into striking distance at three-quarter time. They were 1 point away. They must have been feeling it.
Yeah, they need to capitalize on
these. The only 4 goals in the third. In the third.
Yeah, and they, I don't know what happened. And then Perth had 4 goals, 7 in the last quarter.
To Peel's 1-1.
What happened? It was like a different team out there.
Yeah.
So, it's just so unpredictable. It's Jekyll and Hyde out there.
Yeah, and this is what we were saying at the start. Peel obviously have the talent and, you know, the depth, but they don't have the legs. That's my feeling.
No, they don't. No, they don't have the experience, even though they have the Dockers in their team. They're just not gelling well. It's disappointing to see, for sure. Kyle Morton was really good for the Demons, and Mitch Morton, he's got a little bit of a knee injury, which is not good for them. But Paul Bevan, the captain, played very well as well.
Excellent. And a fun little fact, if you didn't pick up listening at home, all games were competitive up until the fourth, we've decided.
Yeah. No, we have decided about that. Just the first 3 quarters of each game were, you know, standard footy match, and the last was just, okay,
run away with it.
Are we watching a different game now?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I guess that's fair enough, but the third quarter is the premiership quarter.
Is it now, though? Is it not the fourth now?
It's the fourth. We see it in basketball. You know, I'm a big basketball fan, as are you.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter matters in basketball. Maybe the footy players are now watching too much basketball. They're like, nah, it's all about the fourth now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. A win's a win. So whether you win in the first, second, third, or fourth, you get the point.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
We're joined by Glenn Mitchell on the line. He has over 20 years' experience as a sports reporter on both radio and TV with the ABC, and he's commentated over 900 AFL and Waffle games, which is what we're going to be chatting to him about.
Okay, that all makes me sound old. No.
Just firstly, I wanted to ask you, this season, I know it was sort of there last season a bit as well, they began the partnerships, the Eagles in East Perth and Fremantle and Peel. What are your thoughts on it, and how much of an impact do you think the partnership will have on these clubs?
Well, I must admit, Katie, when it first started, I thought that the partnership experience would work better for East Perth and West Coast than it necessarily would with Fremantle and Peel Thunder, just given the existing squads that the two WAFL clubs had. And the way East Perth started the season, I was almost of the mindset that they may go through the year pretty much undefeated. But in recent times, they've lost two matches, including being beaten by West Perth, the reigning premier, by 100 points, and Peel Thunder are yet to win a match. So it hasn't perhaps had the impact that many people believed it would have. And, of course, we've always got to keep in mind that because these are effectively reserve sides for the two AFL clubs, West Coast has had a lot of injury problems. Fremantle has had problems with injury and suspension. So all of a sudden, the playing strength of those two clubs can be diluted in regard to how many players need to be pulled up into AFL ranks. But certainly for Peel, it's proof to really have done nothing for them. They're still sitting on the bottom of the ladder, which is a place they've occupied in the WAFL for the large part of their existence since they came in back in 1997.
Yeah, I think it's something like Peel has not won a game in all three grades, so they haven't won Colts, Reserves or League, yeah. Which is,
yeah, last year I can remember a very embarrassing situation of calling a Peel match at Leaderville Oval, a night match against Subiaco, and Brad Bootsma, the former Fremantle Docker and South Fremantle player, actually had to come out of retirement at the age of 39 because they didn't have enough players to fill the reserves team. So, yeah, the problems with Peel continue to exist, and unfortunately, I think the WA Football Commission a long time ago should have been, I guess, adult enough, to use a terminology, to realise that their introduction of a ninth team into the competition down in the Peel region wasn't successful, and they really needed to disband and move away from the process. They never did that, and I think Peel Thunder and, a large degree, the football population here that follow the WAFL have been beneficiaries of a pretty poor decision initially by the Football Commission.
Do you think it's that, I guess, the teams... I mean, the AFL guys, they're probably coming in just on a Thursday night, and there's about 10 to 12 of them playing regularly in the league side on the weekends. Do you think it's the fact that they're struggling to gel, you know, with the usual waffle guys, you know, they're struggling for that cohesion? That's why there's these problems?
I think it has something to do with it, but as I said before, I think that if you look historically in recent times, I mean, East Perth have been a fairly powerful club, whereas Peel really haven't threatened to any great degree. And East Perth played in a grand final last year without any true alignment and were beaten by West Perth on the day. But they had some experienced players that have stayed with the club, players like Paul Johnson and Craig Wolfe, who's played over 200 matches now. And Paul Johnson played with the Eagles and also with Melbourne and Hawthorn in the AFL, whereas Peel Thunder really have not had any truly experienced players of late. And as a result, you're getting very young Fremantle players that primarily have just been drafted. They're 18, 19 years of age, and they're still being really conditioned into professional football. And they're going into a team where there are a lot of 18 and 19-year-old semi-professional players, whereas East Perth do have still a core of probably 7 or 8 very experienced current WAFL players being topped up by some younger and even more experienced players at AFL level. So that's why I think East Perth has had some success this season. But unfortunately for Peel, you're pretty much combining young men who are learning their way at AFL level with young men that are still trying to find their feet at WAFL level. So that's why I always felt that Peel wouldn't be very successful in that regard, because Peel hasn't got many, you know, 100, 150, 170 game players, whereas East Perth, with the likes of Craig Wolfe and players of that sort of ilk, they've got that experience. And I think that experience has been very, very important for East Perth, and that's why they've had some wins this season, and they've been able to gel a little bit differently and more successfully in regard to an alignment with one of the two AFL clubs.
Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for, Glenn, but thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thanks, Katie.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to Tips Out with Tara. This week, I joined the big league, getting caught up in derby fever down at Paterson Stadium. Since the alignment has been so contentious this year, we at the Monday Waffle were very keen to find out whether or not AFL supporters of West Coast and Fremantle also backed their new waffle-aligned clubs, East Perth and Peel Thunder. The Eagles went down by 19, but before all that, I spoke to members of Fremantle and West Coast and asked if they even think twice about their respective waffle teams.
Not really, no. I haven't kept up with it. I don't
care! Do you follow Fremantle, West Coast and their respective WAFL teams?
I used to, but I sort of lost interest in the game.
No, I don't watch it.
Don't really care, to be honest. You know, it's waffle, not AFL, so...
Do you follow your club's waffle team at all?
No.
No? So do you know who the waffle team is aligned with?
Yeah, Eagles are aligned with East Perth, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
And Fremantle with Peel.
Yes.
So I do know that.
A Fremantle supporter, but do you follow their team in the WAFL?
The only time I follow it is because I like the Fremantle page on Facebook, and they often post the results of the games and who got reported and who played well. It comes up on the newsfeed a lot, and that's the only time I follow it. I don't usually go to the game.
You're a West Coast supporter and you go for East Perth?
Yeah, I go for East Perth, my old man. He's been going for the East Perth since, oh God, donkey's years ago.
And what if the Eagles aligned with another club? Would you have changed then?
Oh no, I've always been East Perth, even before they even start talking about, you know, Eagles joining up with East Perth and so forth. That wouldn't change at all.
As an Eagles supporter, sir, do you follow East Perth?
South Fremantle.
So you haven't gone, jumped over to East Perth?
No, but I do go watch East Perth games because my son plays for Narendra Hawks, which is East Perth based.
So I'm here with a Fremantle supporter, and do you follow the WAFL?
Not as closely as the AFL, but I do follow one of the waffle teams.
Which one?
Claremont.
Wow, so you're a Dockers supporter, but you follow Claremont?
Yes.
Are Peel therefore your second favourite?
I do watch Peel, mainly because obviously the Fremantle players, when they're not playing AFL, go back to Peel. But I've been following Claremont for too many years to swap over.
And just when we think that the West Coast Eagles and Fremantle Dockers fans couldn't give two hoots, squawks, or heave-hoes about their respective reserves teams in the WAFL, we run into two fans who love both their AFL and their WAFL club equally and cannot choose. What about me? Frio or Peel?
Oh, that's hard. That is so hard because, okay. Yeah, I Fremantle is my first team that I like and support. But my heart really is out there suing for Peel and saying, no, we've seen you out there for so long not doing anything. We really would like to see some success at the club.
Eagles or East Perth?
Oh, yeah, that is a tough one. It's a bit difficult, Hopefully the platform that they create is a nice stepping stone.
It remains a polarising and contentious issue. Thanks for getting your tips out with Tara. Let's rock out with the winners. East Perth! East Perth!
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Okay, Jack, let's run through the tips for round 8 quickly. First game is East Perth and Claremont on Saturday afternoon at Medibank.
Bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? Going straight for East.
Royals for the win, definitely. Perth and Subiaco.
I'm going to have to say Subi on this one, Stampy.
They'll bounce back from their loss against Swans this week, taking care of Perth comfortably. Swans and East Frio.
I'm going to have to say Swannies.
Yeah, Swannies.
Their stellar performance last 5 weeks.
They'll keep trucking on. And the last game's on Sunday. It's one of our first games on Sunday for a while.
Mm.
West Perth and Peel. West Perth are coming off the bye.
West Perth.
Yeah, West Perth. West Perth. I can't see Peel getting up.
No.
Thanks for joining us today on the Monday Waffle. It's been Michael and Jack for you this week. Tune in next week for round 8.
And keep kicking goals.